In 1 John chapter 5, let me build it up, build you a foundation here for just a moment. Verse 14 through 15, it says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." Say that with me. He hears us. "And we know that if He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." God's saying in this passage of Scripture here that if we ask anything according to His will, meaning that it's a godly request, and that it's something that a promise that's found in the Bible, that He'll give audience to it. And we know that if He gives audience to it, it says we have, that means He grants our petitions. In other words, He answers our prayers. But many people lack confidence when they pray. And a lot of people pray out of duty with very little anticipation of anything really changing or happening. And I believe that God wants our prayer life to be dynamic. Fruitful would be a better word. I believe that God wants our prayer life to bear fruit. Now, there's nothing more frustrating than to try to pray and not get any answers. And see, God says that if we ask according to His will, He hears us and He'll grant them. But we got to take God's word and the whole counsel of God's word. You can't just pull one scripture out and build a foundation without laying the rest of the brick that go with the foundation. So we got to take the whole of God's word in order to see it. So I'm going to bring out some things tonight to help you better understand why some folks aren't seeing answers to prayer. And I believe the principles that I'm going to share with you tonight will revolutionize your prayer life if you will put them into practice. How many knows in the book of James it says, faith without works or corresponding actions is useless or dead? And God really does want to answer our prayers. And we've seen some mighty, mighty answers to prayers here at the church. But I believe that we're hit and miss. I believe that if people would be honest with themselves, that they would say that at best, they get some of their prayers answered, not all of them. Now listen, if your prayers qualify from the scripture I just told you, it's according to God's will, He says He'll hear it. In other words, it's not a selfish prayer. It's not a prayer for something that's foolish, but it's a godly prayer. Then God says He'll grant audience and He'll grant your petition. So God really does want to answer our prayers. Now, in Matthew 21:22, here's some more foundation for you. It says, "All things, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Now, that's a bold statement. That God's saying, if you can have the faith for things that whatever you ask, all things, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive it. Then go bring up Isaiah 65:24. This is where I want us to get as a church. This is where I want you to get as a believer, as a child of God. I believe that this is where God wants you to be. He wants you positioned in this particular scripture right here. And it says, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear." Wouldn't that be a great place to be? That before your request ever left your lips, before you call, God already knows what you want. And He's already formulated an answer for you. I believe that is the heart of God. I believe that's where God wants us to be as a church. I believe that's where He wants you to be as a son or a daughter of God, as a child of God. Now, to me, and I've lived for the Lord for a long time, it is frustrating when you're not getting answers to prayer. You wonder, where is God? Does He really care? Is He a million miles away and out of touch? Come on, be honest with me tonight. This is the way we feel sometimes. God knows it. But I found out a long time ago this, that God don't miss it. God don't make mistakes. And God answers His promises. So if there's a disconnect, it's not God. It's us. And see, until we come to grips with that, we won't fix the problem. Say amen. We won't fix the real issue. If we don't face the real issues, then we just kid ourselves and we're deceived. Did you know you can deceive yourself? You can deceive your heart and think you're okay when you're really not okay. So I'm entitling this message tonight, preparing our hearts for answered prayer. There has to be a preparation on our part for answered prayer. I want you to understand here tonight, God is not a genie. How many remembers I dream a genie? Yeah. You don't rub the Bible and God grants you three magic wishes. God's not a genie. But God does want to answer our prayer. And I think it'd be a great place to live. It says, before you ask or you call, I will answer. That'd be a great place and a great place to live. And I believe that's where God wants us to live. I believe we can live there. There have been men and women of God who were sold out to God. Say sold out. The modern day church don't want to be sold out. We want to be, we want to live lukewarm and yet still live in the kingdom and enjoy all the benefits of the kingdom. It don't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Now, if I make you a little uncomfortable tonight, I'm sorry, but it's for your own good. If you need to hear this, if you need to be stirred a little bit tonight along these lines and it ruffles your feathers a little bit, that's okay. You know, I heard a guy say one time, if the hair on a cat's standing up, turn it around and rub it the other way. And one other preacher said one time, if the shoe fits, wear it. If it's rubbing blisters, put socks on. All right. Now, what we're talking about tonight is preparing our hearts for answered prayer. I believe God really wants to answer our prayer. But I also believe that sometimes we make the disconnect. And I'm going to point out some of those tonight. And I hope that you will examine your heart. Did you know it's a good thing? It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, examine yourself to see if you be in the faith. Judge yourself and you will not be judged. So God tells us we need to look at our own selves more than we need to look and say, well, God's making the disconnect. God will give us what He says He'll give us if we position ourselves properly, if we prepare our hearts properly. Now, I want to talk to you about an example here in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel chapter 7. And I'm not going to read all these because there's like 17 verses here and a whole lot of words that are very hard to pronounce. But the story here is, I'll give you a little background. The story is, Israel had just got the ark back. And the Philistines were gathered around them to come against them. And the Israelites felt outnumbered and felt like they were fixing to get slammed, if you will, attacked by the enemy. How many's ever been attacked by the enemy? Yeah. Philistines in the Old Testament is a type and a shadow of, in the New Testament, of the enemy of our soul. And I talked to a sister before the service and she said, the devil never stops. No, he doesn't. But I want you to understand, we do not need to give him ammunition. And we do not need to open doors in our lives to allow him to come in. And there's scripture after scripture that tells us that when we open the door to the enemy, he comes in and he takes full advantage of it. Back to our story. In the story here, the Philistines are ready to come against them. But the Israelites cry out to the Lord, and the Lord hears them. And he confuses the Philistines, and they are defeated. But I want you to understand what happened here in this story. I'm going to point out some scripture here for you. Samuel was able, he was the prophet of that day, the leader, the judge. He was able to bring Israel into a position where their hearts were properly prepared before God. And as a result, he prayed with authority and got some powerful results. Do you know there's a scripture in the book of John that says, if our conscience doesn't bother us, I'm paraphrasing, then we have confidence towards God. Meaning that if there's nothing between us and God, and we know there's nothing between us and God, you say, can we really live like that? Yes, we can live like that, or God wouldn't have said it. Can we live holy? Yes, we can live holy. Can we live, do we fall and make mistakes? Yes, but we can get it under the blood. Come on. Everybody's looking at me like, oh, this is uncomfortable already. Samuel brought the children of Israel to a place of preparation for God to work in their lives. Here in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 9 and 10, they begin to prepare. It said, Samuel took a suckling, a lamb, and offered it up as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And he cried out unto the Lord on Israel's behalf. And look what it says. And the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day the Lord thundered with a loud thunder against the Philistines and drew them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. That's cool, isn't it? Now listen, that didn't just happen because of Samuel. Look what Samuel told them. I read that verse on purpose to get you back. Go back one. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3 through 4. There were several things in that passage of these passages of Scripture, verse 1 through 17, that transpired that caused God to hear the prayers of the Israelites. Then Samuel, it said in verse 3 and 4, spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with your whole heart. I want to let that soak in a minute. The reason the church in America struggles so mightily, and I think I know what I'm talking about because I preach long enough and I've dealt with people long enough, I know what I'm saying. The reason the church in America struggles so mightily, the reason we hit miss over here, and the reason we don't get the answers to prayer like we should, this one statement here, it says, he says, that if you do return unto the Lord with your whole heart. Now let me ask you this question tonight. Does God know when we're half-hearted? Does He know when we're sincere? Sometimes I'm not sure we know. I think sometimes we deceive ourselves and think everything's okay and we wonder why nothing's going right in our life and everything's going backwards and we're just, and our life is just a total mess and nothing's working out. It's called deception. It's called deceiving ourselves. Now listen, he said, he spoke to the house of Israel, if you return to the Lord with your whole heart, then put away foreign gods and the Ashtaroths among you and prepare your hearts for the Lord. Did you know you got to prepare a place for the Lord? Just as John the Baptist came and said he prepared a way for the Lord, you have to make preparation in your own heart for the Lord. I can't do it for you. It's something you have to do personally. And look what it says. And serve Him only. And He will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines. Now here's a problem that we have. And is this. We want to live on both sides of the camp. Come on. We don't want to live wholeheartedly for God because we liked coming out of Egypt. Like Egypt, when they came out, they kept wanting to go back. They kept thinking about what they had left, and they didn't give God their whole heart, and they died in the wilderness. And a lot of Christians are dying in the wilderness because they won't sell out to God. I know this is going to be one of those where you hear a pin drop, but we need to hear this. Listen, we need to prepare our hearts and serve Him only. Say that with me, Him only. Did you know God's a jealous God? He said, I will not share myself with another. God is a jealous God. He's a good God, but He wants our wholehearted devotion. And when we don't give it to Him, we leave the door open to the enemy and we close the door to the Lord. Look what he says, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistine. If the enemy is pressuring you and you're praying and you're not getting results, you need to examine your heart and you need to say, Lord, is there anything between me and you? Is there anything that I haven't looked at in my life that is separating from me and you and separating me from your grace and keeping me from getting all that you have promised me? Because God is not a man that He should lie, or the Son of Man that He should repent, the Bible says. If He said it, the Bible says He will do it. So the disconnect is usually with us, not God. So the children of Israel put away Baals and Ashtaroths and served the Lord only. Let me read to you in modern language. So the children of Israel put away the false gods, the idols, and everything that got in the way between them and God and serving God with their whole heart. Look what it said, verse 3. If you return to me with your whole heart. How many's ever went into something, an exercise program, a diet, whatever you might have went into, and you didn't give it your all? What kind of results do you get? Huh? I'll show you. Look at me. When you don't give your whole heart to something in any endeavor that you endeavor in, you're not going to get good results. Why do we think it's any less with God? Why do we think that we can give God our leftovers and He's happy with it? Did you know that in the Cain and Abel story, the one who brought the first fruits, meaning the very best, and took it to God and said, God, this is the best I have to offer. God was pleased with it. The one that brought the one that said that, I'll just give you what's left over and, you know, take that or leave it, God. And God rejected him. Is that right? I'm not telling you that God's a mean God by any stretch of the imagination. That's not what I'm saying. But God wants us to put Him number one in our lives. And sometimes it may not be Ashtaroth and some of these dumb idols that we're talking about, but it can be idols of a different sort. There's many things in this world. In America, one of the reasons that we struggle so much is we got so many things to distract us and pull us away from the Lord. Too much. Too much to offer. And it's so easy to get pulled away by that stuff and lose our focus on what is important in life. So one of the major keys to getting God to answer our prayers, first of all, is to get Him to listen to our requests, is it takes a sincere heart of repentance before God. I know this is not a popular subject in the church anymore. That I watch some of the TV ministers on TV, and to hear some of them tell it that we can live any way we want to and God just accepts us. But it takes a sincere heart of repentance before God will turn His ears to our prayers. Listen to Isaiah 59:2. It says, but your iniquities, and I'll give you a good word for that, but your sins have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that He will not hear. What is God saying to us? He's saying, if you're going to allow sin to operate in your life and not do anything about it, don't expect God to give His ears to you, because the Bible said His ears are open to the prayers of the righteous, not the unrighteous. So, if we're going to allow sin to run rampant in our life and not do anything about it, then we shouldn't expect God to hear our prayers. Too often, our repentance is only one of half-heartedness. But if we're going to have a powerful prayer life like Samuel and others in the Bible, we must come to God with a wholehearted response. In Psalms 119:2, it says, blessed are those that keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart. Psalms 119:145 says, I'll cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. Obedience is what God was commanding from them. And He's no different with us. We need to separate ourselves from everything that's ungodly, put away everything that we know that God is not pleased with in our lives. And listen to me very carefully. God empowered us to walk a life that is pleasing to Him. We have the ability to do it. It's the will that's the problem. In 2 Corinthians 6:16-18, it says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God says, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. What we need to ask ourselves this tonight, are the worldly things or the unclean things, have we let them come into our lives, things that we know that are not pleasing to God? Have we let things come between us and our relationship with the Lord? Are we hot and on fire for God like we once was? Have we let our steam for God wither? Have we stopped searching God out with our whole hearts? Or has the allurement of other things begin to take hold in our lives, and now we no longer have that desire to serve God with our whole heart? It's evident by church attendance how much God means to us. It's evident by our prayer life. It's evident by our works in our community, helping others and loving others. It's evident by our relationships with one another. It's evident by do we have so much going on in our life that God is an afterthought anymore, like an after-dinner mint. Come on now. I knew this would get quiet, but that's all right. Have we let worldliness get into our lives? You know, I've heard people say you can go into the church anymore and you can't tell the difference between the church and the world. The only thing is we call ourselves believers. We call ourselves children of God. I do believe that there is a time of grace. I do believe there's a time of growth in the Lord. Every one of us, when we're born again, we're born spiritual babies. And yes, we're going to make mistakes. And yes, but even in those days, when I was a young believer in the Lord, man, I wanted to serve God. Man, I wanted to please Him in everything that I did. And when I made a mistake, I was the first one to run to the Lord and ask Him, God, cleanse me, forgive me. I did not want to do anything that was unpleasing to Him. But as time goes on, that kind of wanes a little bit. Do we want God to hear our prayers? If we do, we got to be willing to put down the worldly idols and anything that exalts itself against our relationship with God. A powerful prayer life with powerful results will cost us our worldly pleasures. Now, that's not to say God minds that we have vacation. That's what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about at all tonight. What I'm talking about, have we let things of the world so creep into our lives that we no longer... the only time we think about God is when we show up for church. Prepare your hearts for the Lord, verse 3 says. You know what that word prepare means? Women who prepare the meal for their family know what I'm talking about. It's a time of preparation. It's a time of doing something. It's a time of making ready. You've got to make your heart ready. You've got to make your heart ready. Listen to Hosea 10 and 12. It says, sow for yourself righteousness, reap in mercy, break up the fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till He comes and reigns in righteousness on you. What does it mean to break up the fallow ground? Well, a time of preparation is a time of examining yourself. You know, anytime I told a story Sunday about my wife and the knot that came up into her breast, and my wife is she seeks the Lord like I am embarrassed sometimes by my dedication compared to hers, and I'm the pastor. But she had a lump come up in her breast, and a very large one. And the first thing she did, and this is what I recommend to anybody, the first thing she did, she went in and spent a day or two of preparation examining her life. Was there anything in her life that would cause her not to be in the right position that God would hear her request? And there was two things that come up that happened 15, 20 years ago, and she took care of them. But that back then she took care of them, but she said, they keep coming back to my heart. God will tell you what's wrong. I said, God will tell you what's wrong. If you really want to hear, God will tell you. And she made the phone call to her sister, who there was a misunderstanding that happened several years ago that was taken care of then, but she wanted to make sure that there was nothing that would keep her from not being positioned right to hear God hear her request. Well, you know the rest of the story. About 3 weeks later, after she began, we prayed for her, she confessed the scriptures over her life every day, and I mean diligently sought the Lord. And whatever happened in the church, the Bible says God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And she made sure there was nothing between her and God. The first thing we need to do is we need to check our hearts out, prepare our hearts, make ready, break up the fallow ground. I believe a properly prepared heart involves a couple things. One, godly sorrow and brokenness over our sin. Did you know sometimes we take sin lightly? We take this 1 John 1:9 and we throw it around like it's a free pass to sin. That's not a free pass to sin. Listen to me. Jesus died for our sins. The sins of the world was laid upon Jesus. And listen to what it says here in 2 Corinthians about this. It says, For godly sorrow produces repentance to salvation, not to be regretted. What? He was talking to the church there. Had some things going on. What diligence it produced in you. What clearing of yourself. What indignation. What fear. And what vehement desire. What zeal. What vindication. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 and 11. There was a preacher named Alexander Dowie who came over here from Australia in the early 1900s. And he set up shop over in Chicago. What I say by shop is he didn't start a church to start with. He put up a booth at the World's Fair. Miracles from God's what it said. Bold. That's bold. But you know one thing he did that got all the miracles and all the answers to prayer was anybody that came to him for prayer requests, and then he's the one that ended up building Zion, Illinois, by the way, that whole city, their church. The one thing he did that gave him great success is when people would come to him, he'd say, go away and come back after you have examined your heart. And then I'll pray for you. That's good medicine. I wonder how many, if I got up here during the prayer line, if you lined up and I come along and said, what's your request? And I say, go away and examine your heart and come back next Wednesday or Sunday. What would happen? Yeah. It'd be emptier than it is tonight, I guarantee you. People don't want to hear anymore that God expects us to live right. It's like, God, take me any way you want to. But he would say, go spend some time soul searching. Make sure that your heart's clear before God. Come back and I'll pray for you. And I'm telling you, this man had some of the most astounding miracles. I've got a book at home that ever happened since Jesus' day. And it was all because he made people examine their lives. And here in Corinthians, godly sorrow produces repentance. And then the second thing we need to do, we need to commit to serve Him only. There in verse 3, and it says, and serve Him only. Did you know in the book of James it says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Was James talking to the world or was he talking to the church? Was James talking to the church? I believe he was. You wouldn't think he'd have to tell the church that. But God's saying, draw nigh to me and He'll draw nigh to you. God's saying the open door is open. Come on in. I want you there. But He says, cleanse your hands and purify yourself. Now listen, all it takes on our part is that we go to God with an honest heart. And listen to James 1, 7 and 8 before I say the rest of what I'm going to say. It says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, for let not that man suppose he receive anything from the Lord, for he that is double-minded is unstable in all his ways. Now, we've taught that two ways. We've taught it as, if you don't believe God fully and you waffle back and forth, then you're double-minded. Well, that's part of it, but it can be that you're living half in the world and half in the church, half for God and half for everything else, and you're not single-minded. You're double-minded And the Bible says you're unstable as far as God's concerned. And He's saying, don't let that person think that they can receive anything from the Lord. It's single-hearted, wholehearted devotion to the Lord. It hasn't changed. Somehow or another, in the church, we think that it's changed, that God has changed His mind. The Bible clearly says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I'm not telling you that we got to be perfect tonight, but I'm telling you if there's known sin in our life and there's areas of our life that we refuse to deal with, don't expect God to answer your prayers because it's contrary to His Word. Obedience is what God is commanding us. Look what it says in verse 4. It says, so the children of Israel put away the false gods and served the Lord only. It means that they were afraid of the enemy and how the enemy was wreaking havoc on their lives. And that they knew that God would answer their prayers if they would get right. Do you remember when Jonah was in the fish's belly? Yeah. And he was going the opposite direction of where God wanted him to go. If you read the story, Jonah came to his senses. And he asked God to, he did some repenting in the fish's belly. And then God spit him up right in the middle of his will, where he needed to be. It's no different for us. If we'll search our hearts and see, and there may not be none there. If there's nothing there, then you're on solid ground. You can go before God and you can believe Him to answer your prayers, and He will answer your prayers. But if there's something in your heart, the Bible says we need to deal with it. 1 John 3:22, and says, whatever we ask Him, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight. I want to say this again. I know I've said it 100 times tonight. We cannot live lives of disobedience and expect God to come to our beck and call every time we get ourselves in trouble. Did you know some of what the trouble that we find ourselves in? Now, we live in a sin-cursed world, and sometimes it's just by happen chance or we're in the wrong place at the right time. But some of our own troubles is our own makings. And I'm not sure God wants to hurry up and get you out of something just so you can jump right back into it. Not without there being some changes. Now, I'm not saying that sometimes the enemy don't attack us and we're just a target for the enemy sometimes. And in those cases, God still got our backs. But I'm saying when we have done something of our own accord and caused it to be a problem in our own lives, where, like it says in Galatians, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. If you sow unto the flesh, of the flesh you will reap corruption, problems, difficulties. If those are the case, then we need to clear ourselves. And we need to go back to the cross, if you will, and say, God, yeah, I blew it. You know, I sometimes in the church, if you talk about repentance anymore, people get angry with you. Like that's a byword in the church. Hey, the church is built upon repentance. Yes, it is. Revival comes when people repent. The reason we've seen some answer to prayer around here is because people are getting their lives right with God and saying, God, I want what you want. He says in 1 John, it's a promise, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want you to understand something tonight, because it sounds like I'm being heavy-handed again on you, but I'm not. What I'm trying to tell you is God wants to bless you. And He wants to remove everything that's between you and Him. He loves you with an everlasting love. He's not mad at you. He's just saying, I'm holy. And if we want to live unholy, God can't live over there with us. Because He's holy. But God's saying, if you'll confess your sins, I'm faithful and I'm just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. God wants to restore us, cleanse us, put us back in the right position, prepare us to receive from Him. You know, as a pastor, I have personal requests sometimes that I go before the Lord. If it doesn't work for me, I heard Lily B. Yeoman, who was a doctor who got saved, say this statement, and I believe this. I believe it's a true statement. She was a doctor who got hooked on morphine, I believe it was, while she was treating terminally ill patients. She was working such long hours. Anyway, she got hooked on it so bad she couldn't function, and ended up getting saved, getting delivered, and becoming a great evangelist for God, bringing healing to multitudes. And this is one thing she said. She says, if God doesn't answer our prayers within 3 to 4 days, we start searching. If God hasn't, we don't see some signs from heaven that God is starting to move on our behalf, then there's something wrong, and it's not God. You with me? So if there's a problem, we need to look within, not look at God. The power source hasn't dried up, and God's willingness to bless us is still there. Now, this thing they did here in verse 9, and Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. You know what that represents? That represents the Lamb of God that was offered for the sins of the world. And He was offering a sacrifice for the sins of the people. Did you know the blood cleanses us? The blood makes us right. But we don't take the blood for granted. This is what it says, 1 Corinthians 5, 7 says, therefore purge out the old leaven that there may be new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. When we properly cleanse our heart from all sin by confessing and repenting with our whole hearts, we can come boldly to the throne room of grace confidently. Hebrews 4:16 says this. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne room of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. God wants to answer our prayers, but He's asking us to do something too. And then the last thing I want to say, talk to you about real quickly tonight is this. Answered prayer. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10 and 11, it says, now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offerings, the Philistines drew near to the battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day and confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And a man of Israel went out to Mizpah and pursued the Philistines. And then look in verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin, and called its name Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. It was a stone of remembrance, a stone of thank you, that God hears our prayers. I want to give you one more quick story before I close. And it was about this lady that she had cancer. And there was a woman pastor who had been fasting for her. And for two solid years, she spent time praying for this woman. And then one day, she was in her prayer closet praying, and the Lord spoke to her heart and said, don't pray for her no more. She jumped up and said, what? And the Lord went on to tell her, said she's got unforgiveness in her heart, and she won't deal with it. Most of the time in the church, it's not blatant, terrible sins, which some does happen, but it's stuff like unforgiveness and petty stuff that we get into that God won't hear us. It's like in Peter where it says, where the wife is not treated right by the husband and the husband doesn't treat the wife right. They talk bad to each other and they don't treat each other right. And he said, this will hinder your prayers. But she went to the woman and she said, the Lord told me not to pray for you anymore, and said, you got a problem with unforgiveness in your life. She said, that's right. I've been mad at my sister for 7 years. I haven't spoke to her for 7 years. And the woman got really angry with her. Said, you mean for 7 long years and I've been fasting and praying for you for 2 solid years and you won't move off of that? Said, God said He won't heal you. So the woman repented and got healed. And then there was another story of Smith Wigglesworth. He was called to a young man who had once been ministering. And another minister friend of his called him over and said, I want you to pray for this young man. And when he got over there, this is what the Lord spoke to his heart when he got in there. Psalms 107, I didn't write this down, but I'll read it to you. 107:17. I wasn't going to share this, but I will. And this young man had got into some pretty bad sin. And it was, I think, of a sexual nature. And had really fallen from the Lord. And he was dying, wasting away of a disease. And look what, when he got in there, the minister that was with him said, let's pray. And Smith Wigglesworth says, I can't. I can't pray. Not yet. And this is what the Lord gave him. And it was unique how it happened. He said, fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. And said, the young man heard what he said, and the Spirit of God was all over it, and said, he hit the floor, began to repent, and God healed that young man, restored him right there. God has the power. Say that with me. God has the power. God has the ability. And He wants to extend Himself to us. But when we refuse to go by God's terms, then God's not obligated. I believe that God wants to move in a powerful way, a dynamic way in our lives. I believe that He's patiently waiting for the church, the people of the church, to prepare the hearts in a way that will bring glory and honor to His name. In the book of James, listen to what it says. This is talking about Elijah. It says, the effective, say that with me, effective. You know what effective means? It means it works. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Don't misread what it's saying. God's saying prayer is effective. And he's saying, if you're fervent and you're righteous, meaning that you're trained to live for God with your whole heart. By doing that, that doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes. Even here, it goes on to say that Elijah was a man of with a nature like ours, subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for the space of three years and 6 months, and he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. But understand this, Elijah had his ups and downs, but he was a man sold out to God, and when he got down, he always turned to God. And when we'll turn to God, we're saying, God, you're everything to me. You're my source. I don't know anything else, and I don't want anything else but you, God. And when you got that kind of devotion towards God, you're drawing nigh unto God, and the Bible says He'll draw nigh unto you. And if you got a sin issue in your life, God will deal with it with you. And He'll help you get that cleaned up. And then you can go confidently before God in prayer and knowing that God's going to answer your prayer. How many wants to see God answer prayers in the church today? How many is tired of seeing us come to church and only 15-20% of our prayer requests are being answered in our churches anymore? If that much. You know, I said one time in one of our sermons, we have more faith accidents than we do faith on purpose. Meaning that I don't know if God don't feel sorry for us sometimes, or we get somebody in the prayer line that's prepared and they receive. And then we see people come in and out of church, and it's frustrating. And this is why our churches are getting empty, because our churches are not on fire for God, because they're not seeing God move in our services and move in people's lives. And they say, what's the use? Why serve God when you can just go in the world and luck will hit you once in a while? I know how people think. I've even thought that myself. But the problem's not with God, folks. The problem's with us. We got to get right before God. We got to get serious before God. When we get serious before God, God gets serious with us, and then things start to happen.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
We've been seeing God save some people. I think last month we had 8 or 10 people saved because the church is starting to get the vision, starting to get on fire for God again. But we can't stop. We can't let the momentum that we got going stop. We can't fail to examine ourselves when we need to. The Bible says, he who says he's without sin lies. We all have areas of our life that we're weak in. But if we'll just cry out to God, He'll cleanse us. And He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And He'll position us. He'll hear our prayers. And you know what? I love it when God's moving and answering prayers, because people get excited. Now, I'm going to close with this statement. Anybody tonight, and I know some of you are seeking answers to prayers, and I wouldn't be worth 2 cents as a preacher if I didn't tell you the truth. You need to do 4 things. You need to repent with your whole heart and turn to God. We cannot rely on the arm of the flesh and the arm of God all at the same time. The second thing we need to do is prepare, make ready, search our hearts. The third thing we need to do is we need to get obedient. You can be obedient. Did you know it takes the same amount of effort to be obedient as it does to be disobedient? Come on, church. It's just what you're focusing your attention and your strength on. And the fourth thing is we'll start to see answered prayer. Now I want to give an opportunity for anyone that needs answers to prayer tonight to come forward. We're seeing them. God's not mad at you. Don't everybody say, well, if I go up here and think I'm the one that's all messed up. That's pride. You've heard me say as your pastor, I'm the first one that runs to the altar when something ain't right. And we've gathered here today. God's moving on some of your heart tonight. The altar's open. I want to pray for you. You said you had a prayer request for someone else, but come on up. You break the ice for them. Anybody else, come on up. All right. You need answers to prayer. God's a God that answers prayer. But if there's areas of your life that you need to work on, whether you do it here tonight or you do it in the privacy of your own home, you need to do it. Amen.
Our Father, hear us from heaven. Forgive our sins, we pray. Hear our song as it rises to heaven.